This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, Sue, remember earlier this week when I said, it's not going to be that hot, you know, the dew points will be low. It's pretty hot out
what
there.
What did
right?
I say?
Yeah, I think I was proven wrong. Because it's pretty, I mean, I don't know if we deserve this, but I'll do it anyway.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
We just got spoiled because of the mild weather, but I think we'll be okay.
And this is how it always goes.
No, it's going to be bad this weekend, 97.
Yeah, it lulls us into thinking, look, it's kind of fall, and then we get hit with the 90s, and then that might be it.
But I talked about this yesterday. First of all, Jane is here. Hello, Jane. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How are you?
Gene Evans is here. I'm good. Political consultant for GO Consulting, former executive director of the GOP in Missouri. We also have with us former state senator Jeff Smith, who's the executive director of the Missouri Workforce Housing Association. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. You know, so I'll start
Jeff's shirt is inside out, just in case anybody was wondering.
I do that all the time. Is it really?
I think it might be.
Unless that's a style.
Do me a favor.
You know, I probably shouldn't say it.
Do not remove that shirt in front of
Gene
us all.
Last night.
Okay, now this isn't making it any better.
Start. All right, here we go.
You asked for that, Gene.
Yes. Continue onward.
And his girlfriend was there. Okay.
Thank you for the clarification.
Dinner. Wow. Don't change your shirt right now. Okay.
I mean, I think you look fine. But yeah, if you want to do it in front of all the cameras here and on the X formerly Twitter, that's up to you, Jeff. I mean, I would not do it, but you're in better shape than I am. So, wow, that was not the way I expected the show to start. But what I was going to say was on the heat front, Jane, you know, they moved the Mizzou game from a 2 p.m. start to a noon start because of the heat. How does that make any sense? Isn't it going to be hotter between noon and 4 than it would between 2 and 6? Or maybe they move the game to 4 and then you get some cooler temperatures into the evening.
And you get sundown. Right. Yeah. I don't understand that, but it's going to be hot.
I mean, it will.
It will.
Well, let me start here with Spencer Cox, who is the governor of Utah, and he was out there. It was a news conference. They have the shooter. I woke up this morning not knowing because they had a rather late news conference. When I was on the air yesterday, we were anticipating something about the shooter. Cash Patel was heading to Utah, and then they kept delaying it and delaying it. And then they came out last night, and they did not have a whole lot of information. So a lot of us went to bed wondering if the shooter would be caught. In fact, he was late last night. His dad apparently, played a role in turning him in. Here is Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah, sending a message just about where we are culturally right now.
This is not good for us. It is not good to consume. Social media is a cancer on our society right now. And I would encourage Again, I would encourage people to log off, turn off, touch grass, hug a family member, go out and do good in your community. That is happening, and it's happening organically right now. I had a friend in a small city in Utah who said, we're getting together. The Republicans and Democrats in my little town are getting together to have a discussion tonight, last night, just to find a way to find their better angels. So yes, this could be. I mean, you know, again, you have to go back to JFK to have seen a video live of something like this happening. I wasn't born until 1975, but I know that things were really dark in the late 60s. Sorry to some of you. I know some of you were there. But this is our moment. Do we escalate or do we find an off ramp? And again, it's a choice. It's a choice.
You know, and we hear things like this quite a bit, unfortunately, when we have very public assassination attempts and some of the things that we've seen in society. And Gene, I'll start with you on this one, because I honestly don't know where this moment takes us. I will say, and I said this yesterday, I think I underestimated the effect that Charlie Kirk had on younger people.
Me too.
I didn't realize, you know, I knew how popular he was, and I used a lot of his audio, his debate audio, quite a bit as audio cut of the day. But I heard from several people. I had my friend John Ziegler on the show yesterday, and John's become close with Matt Lauer in the aftermath of Matt, you know, departing from NBC News. And they were on the phone yesterday. Matt Lauer is no conservative, nobody that leans, you know, to the right. And he said he's got two kids that are teenagers that were devastated by this because they were fans of Charlie Kirk. So, you know, it's having an impact. It's having a bigger impact maybe than some people thought it would. I think the left is a little confused by the impact that it's having right now. But where do you even start after a week like this?
It's difficult. I think one of the things that's so jarring is his whole goal point was to have discussion, open and free debate. And, you know, we've been hearing words are violence. And when you keep saying that, then people answer violence with violence, maybe. I don't know. I have a lot of things swirling through my head on this. But I do think, you know, this guy was incredibly gifted at talking to young people and getting them to share their thoughts and feel comfortable standing in front of people and sharing their thoughts. And I think we need more of that. This idea that we have to shut people down who disagree with us is very, very dangerous. Obviously, this man was killed for it. But his impact on getting kids to talk and talk about, well, I don't, you know, like they'd say, well, I believe this, and he'd question him on it, and he'd have all these open debates. That's what you're supposed to do, especially as a young person. You're supposed to test your ideas. You know, you might have, you know, grown up this way, and then you go to college and someone challenges you on it, and it either makes it a stronger thought or belief, or it weakens it. But the idea is that this free exchange of ideas and being silenced like that. And I also think the fact that so many people saw this happen and it was very jarring. We saw a presidential candidate, our now president, get shot and survive. And now we have seen someone who is a hero to a lot of young people executed.
And unfortunately, I made the mistake of watching the video.
Yes.
You know, and I wish I hadn't because I would not recommend it.
Can I say something else? But I mean, one of the things I don't think people realize, there are so many threats to our elected officials and also outspoken people. So we all know people, all of us in this room know people who they've been threatened, their children have been threatened, they've had to have security. I mean, credible threats, not just, you know, somebody said something online, like credible threats where the FBI has had to be at their home, their children have had to have escorts to school because of their thoughts or feelings on a particular issue. That's been going on for years. It's not surprising. I mean, unfortunately, it's not that surprising when these things happen, like what happened in Minnesota or this, because I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often because there are so many threats against people because of their thoughts and ideas. And that we got to get away from that because this is getting worse. It's not getting better.
And we say this every time, though, Jeff, right? You know, we got to get away from it. And I don't think we do get away from it. And, you know, there's vile things that are happening on both sides. But unfortunately, with your side, and look, I defend you, Smith. I defend Jane, my common sense, you know, liberals here on the round table. You're a little bit wackier than Jane and some of the others. But I bring it up because, look, you have not only the fringes of your party, and we've got the fringe in the Republicans, too, but the people who lead your party, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, you know, Gavin Newsom, you name it. We are, Gene and I, are Nazis. We're a threat to democracy, right? We're evil because we believe that biological men should not cannot compete against biological women. All these things. And we've been told this time and time again, not from the fringes. The fringes say it all the time. We're hearing that. But from the leaders of the party. So there's even blame that's going around by some people on the left trying to pin this on MAGA and on Trump for some reason, because the kid had normal parents and he was radicalized after he went to high school. Now, I will also say this. We don't know a lot about this guy right. at this point. So there's a lot of things. And I do want to correct one thing. There's seemingly, I'll let you respond here, Smith, but there was reporting that some of the engravings on the bullet casings had to do with the trans issue. That does not seem to be the case at this point. So I wanted to correct that, because there are things that are coming out, you know, that are not true. And we still are sifting through the facts and the details.
Yeah. So with regard to people trying to place blame on, you know, the words from this political figure or that political figure, I think that's a ridiculous thing to do. There's one person who this should be blamed on, and it's the person who pulled the trigger. Full stop. And nothing that anyone says ever warrants that. That's what makes our country different from uncivilized places. We don't go and kill people. We don't try to harm people physically through violence because of their exercising free speech. So I say that with a full stop. Doesn't mean I don't think some of the things he said in his career were abhorrent, but I don't need to agree with him to agree with his approach. Okay, his approach was admirable. The way that he went to college campuses where he knew he would be reviled on some campuses
and invited opponents
and invited
to
disagreement
step up, right?
and asked people to come to the front of the line if they disagreed. And the whole spirit of it was prove me wrong. Now, I think I could prove him wrong on a lot of the things he said. And I think sometimes he said things that were very inflammatory, but that doesn't excuse or justify what happened to him. And anyone who indicates that it does is monstrous.
There's a lot of people out there indicating that it does. And what's interesting is there's a couple things happening, and I'm going to say I'm not a fan of one thing, but I'm okay with the other. I said this on Twitter earlier. So there's a couple of websites that you guys are familiar with probably on Twitter and, you know, TikTok, Libs of TikTok and Wokeness. And they have been for the last 2 days meticulously going through some of the hate and the evil responses. And they are posting information on their sites, but not about just the regular people that are doing this, the bartender, the waitress, or something like that. There's plenty of that. But these are people who work in healthcare, mm-hmm. they work in academia, they work at high schools, elementary schools, and they are outing them right now. Now, some people are saying, well, wait a second, you guys, I thought you were against cancel culture. And I am against cancel culture, unless we're talking about people in leadership and authority positions who should not be teaching children when they espouse that. So there are horrific things that come from people on the right as well, Jane, and I've always acknowledged that. But some of the rhetoric coming out of the folks, they're not even shy about, you know, dancing on his grave at this point. They're proud of it.
Some are, and it's gross.
It's
and
sickening.
I saw, you know, and I agree with Jeff. This guy should be punished to the outer limits of the law. I mean,
well, they have the death penalty in Utah. Yeah.
And you know what? And he might be eligible depending on the circumstances, and we don't know a lot yet. But I think the idea that you would ever, like, if you are so afraid of someone having a different opinion of you, a different opinion than you, then you are the problem. And we've gotten away from that. I mean, I couldn't watch the video. After I watched former officer Dorn mm-hmm. get killed on Facebook, I just can't watch that anymore. I mean, it changed me. It will never, ever be out of my mind. So I would not watch this video because it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do society any good, in my opinion. And I have to agree that social media right now is a bunch of trash, and it's sad.
And actually designed, the algorithms are designed to make us all angry. And
correct.
That's a really sad place to be.
And we have to be strong enough to say, you know, we're not participating in this.
The whole concept of this very segment, the Reardon Roundtable, which I've done for almost 30 years mm-hmm. now at different stations, was to get people from different opinions in a room and talk about these issues, right? And sure, we yell at each other sometimes, but most of the people that are on this show are, you know, I had something that happened, you know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago that wasn't too cool when Rainford was in the room, and I won't name the person, but they were never invited back because it got nasty and it got personal, and it was something that happened during a break, and I said, no, we're not going to do that. So everyone, you know, we may leave the room and there's a little tension or something like that. I know Jane has cussed me under her breath plenty of times over the years because we've been doing this. But
no,
we have conversation. No, I know. Believe me.
Fully.
And I probably deserved it, right?
But we still
can settle down and have conversations.
Well, and we're still friends.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, Jeff and I could not be more different when it comes to politics. I was at his house Saturday night playing poker. We had dinner with some friends last night. We're very, very good friends. And we've had really heated discussions, and we disagree vehemently. I mean, some of the things he just said, I'm like, oh, he's so wrong.
Right, right.
I still consider him a very good friend. But
some people on our side don't even think you should allow for that, you know, because I hear from
people all
the time.
On both sides they say that.
Right, right.
Like, you should not associate with that person.
Oh, if you associate with that person, you somehow have adopted what they believe. If you retweet
something, and I reject that.
Absolutely.
Then you espouse everything that person has ever said in their whole life. You know what? Horrible people could say good things, and good people could, you know, slip up and say horrible things. I mean, but this is not that. This is people who are dancing on another human being's grave.
Well,
it's revolting.
I have to say, a lot of Republicans, and I'm seeing a lot of this, you know, on social media, Republicans feel like all the bullets are going in one direction. And they're pointing out that, you know, John Roberts, the shooting that happened on the ball field, the attempts on the president's life, this. Now, I know there was
Brett Kavanaugh.
Minnesota. It's Brett going both
ways. Minnesota.
Paul Pelosi.
Yeah, Paul Pelosi. Oh, that was the biggest joke in the Republican Party was hitting him with a hammer.
But that was awesome.
It's both ways. The deal with that was the lack of transparency in the Paul Pelosi situation.
Well, there's no more transparency in this issue.
There's a lot of transparency here.
Well, and I think even people, when they read these things, there's so much misinformation out there, they immediately adopt whatever they want to believe, and then they ignore the facts that they don't want to believe. I saw good friends of mine posting things yesterday on Facebook that were a simple Google search would have proved wrong.
Right.
And I'm just like, and it's making things worse. And I don't want to argue with people on Facebook. I don't want to talk about politics on Facebook, but I'm just like, you're part of the problem. You're pushing out lies, or really what's propaganda, because you're so angry, but all you're doing is making it worse.
Hang tight. We have much more of the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoon. All right, it's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker on the panel. Gene Evans is here, political consultant for Go Consulting. Former State Senator Jeff Smith also with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. I know you wanted to close the loop on something related to Charlie Kirk, and I wanted to kind of shift into something also related to that, Jeff. But what are we going to toss in here?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I know this might sound paradoxical, because I am a free speech absolutist. I think people should be able to say what they want, and other people should be free to disagree. And as a former college professor for 2 decades, one of the things that troubled me the most about campus life was the extent to which it tended to shield young people from diverging opinions, which I think is a terrible trend. We got to expose young people to people that they disagree with.
We have to teach them to discern.
Absolutely. That said, I think all of us in public life, like whether we're political consultants, pundits, you know, members of the media, politicians themselves, we all need to take this moment and reflect and try to exercise a little more restraint voluntarily. I'm not trying to shut anybody up, but I think we should all, you know, use this moment to think before we press send, before we post, before we say something, when we all know we have a platform.
Well, there was something I'm going to go back to.
Because there are a lot of people out there that are struggling with mental health issues, and we're not trying to trigger them, but you never know how the things you say will land.
Well, going back to Gene's comment about Facebook, I mean, my wife's birthday was yesterday, so I posted a picture of a note that my daughter left to her, and then I don't do politics on Facebook. I haven't for a long time. I barely post anything unless it's a picture of my bunny or my puppy or Alexa. But then, you know, once it was open, I happened to look at comments and just walk away and
discuss. Your wife and your daughter?
No, what I'm saying is that I looked at others, so I had Facebook open, so I'm scrolling and then
crap.
I'm seeing other people post. Okay. No, they didn't do it on my post. But then you had this guy, Clay Higgins, who's a congressman from New Orleans, and I took a stand against this yesterday. He says, and I get the passion and the anger and the emotion, I'm going to use congressional authority and every influence with big tech platforms to mandate immediate bans for life of every post or commentator that belittled the assassination of Charlie Kirk. No, dude,
no.
Stop it.
No.
And what bugs me is that sounds like a Democrat, and he's a Republican.
Let him do it, and then, you know what?
Well, there's consequences, and that's what's happening.
You know what? Speech is free, but not really, because, you know, I saw the girl who, I got fired because I, you know, danced on this guy's grave. And it's like, well, you know what?
Consequences.
You can say what you want, but there are consequences.
Exactly right.
You're free to say it, but you're not free from the consequences of what you said.
All right. The other thing that happens in any situation like this, and because there was a school shooting in Denver on the same day, you have gun control being in the mix. And here's what AOC said about that.
People can finger point all they want. Look at the record. Look at the actions of what we are doing. I don't think a single person who has dedicated their entire career to preventing gun safety legislation from getting passed in this House has any right to blame anybody else but themselves for what is happening.
Well, the gun argument falls really flat here, unfortunately, for the left. And I don't know if they even realize this, but this is a hunting rifle, okay?
Right.
It's a 30-06. It was not, this one was a Mauser. It was an older World War II model, so it's a little different than the two 30-06s that I have, but it's a bolt action, so you have to fire it and you pull out the, you know, the bullet from or the casing from the chamber and then load another one. You can't just rapid fire or anything like that. There's no Democrats, not enough of them. Sure, there's people that want to ban all guns, but there is not a chance in hell that they're going to ban hunting rifles or something of that caliber in this country. It's just not going to happen.
But there were conservatives screaming, "Oh, why aren't the Democrats talking about gun control now?" And I'm like, seriously?
What?
Yeah.
Well, that makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to blame Charlie Kirk for his statements, but you're not going to blame guns now. And I'm like, and now they're mad that
she's
actually
blaming
guns.
Well, I'm not
going to
blame guns because the guy had an assault rifle and all the language we hear all the time. Now, Jeff, you look like you were scoffing at me. I saw your face when I was talking about this. Wait, hang on. You know, go ahead.
I was scoffing more at how the next comment I make is going to be received by your audience.
Oh, I can't wait. That's even better when you say it that way.
No, look, I mean, you know, I'm actually pretty moderate on a lot of things. I support a federal constitutional amendment to balance the budget. I support charter schools and other kinds of, you know, education reform and choice for families. I have a lot of pretty moderate positions, but my most left-wing position is guns because, you know, I have a disagreement with the interpretation that a lot of people have of the Constitution. I think you have the right as part of a well-regulated militia. And based on how many people have died because of gun violence in this country, I would like to see America do what Australia did and basically ban almost all guns.
Yeah, that's outrageous. I'm not saying it's practical. You're being honest about that, but that it would never.
Yeah.
It
has zero chance of happening.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
But you know,
I didn't sponsor legislation to try to do that because I knew it had no chance.
But do you know how many people die in this country from a long rifle like this one?
Not many.
Not many.
Yeah.
At all. Like a few hundred.
Yeah, it's almost all pistols.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of those are suicides as well. So you know, when you look at the numbers, 32. You know, 1,000 deaths from guns, a lot of it is suicide, unfortunately. But, you know, we're going to keep arguing about this stuff, Jane. No one ever comes up with any kind of solution, and it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen, you know, I get worried because, look, you guys we're all in public positions, right?
Right.
But I think of, and I know you guys probably thought of your friends that are in more elevated public positions, whether it's, you know, Senator Schmidt or my friend Scott Jennings. Riley Gaines looked horrified the other night because you have to wonder what you might face if you go to one of these events. And there's no way to prevent everything from happening and having security everywhere.
No, I mean,
any one of us could be targeted. The more you know, than the public eye, the more likely it is. But there's also random violence too. I mean, it's hard to say you're safe, but it's alarming to me, just the anger. But I do think that the name calling is not helpful. I just think when you continue to call people a fascist, a white supremacist, or a bigot, it makes,
or baby killer, or communist, or I mean, it's
when you do the name calling.
Well, communist is pretty fitting for Mamdani and some of the other ones, so I might exclude that one. But I understand your point, Jane.
Yes, that's a fair point, and I just think you dehumanize people, and there's a certain segment of the population that feels like those people's lives should be ended. Unfortunately, that and it doesn't take very many of them to do damage. You know, you have less than 1% of people who are going to react, as Jeff said, you know, in a violent way to some rhetoric, but they can hurt a lot of people.
The one thing I want to say is, yes, obviously people could watch what they say, but we also have a problem with the listeners. Everyone thinks that they're entitled to be the biggest victim in the room. Everyone takes offense at everything. Everyone gets violated by everything. And so listeners have to also self-reflect and say that, you know what, somebody like using stupid language, calling somebody whatever, a baby killer, or you hate America. I mean, how many times do conservatives say, you know, Democrats hate America, Democrats
That's
are stupid?
Because many of you do. And so, I wouldn't put you in that category.
But I mean, Bush and a lot of others in that category. Is that different than
Ilhan
calling
Omar
someone a fascist?
It is different.
See, that's the other thing. The hearers, you don't get to play the victim and then tell everybody else they're being inappropriate.
Because in our mind, what happened on January 6th is not indicative of loving America. You know?
Exactly.
It was awful.
Unpatriotic. Yeah. And so, but if you say that now, somehow, that's the thing. We have to, as hearers, we have to evaluate fairly. I mean, the bottom line is, if Democrats do it, it's terrible. If Republicans do it, it's fine. Nobody had this kind of outrage when Gabby Giffords got gunned down
at
an event.
That's not true.
That was not like this. Oh, my God. Well,
I mean,
okay,
Congressional Medal of Freedom. I mean, now we're at
flags. If we would have seen a bullet go through her neck and blood gushing out like we did in this situation, I believe it would have got a fair amount of more.
Yes.
It was a dominating story for years.
That shouldn't, I mean, it does make it horrible.
It does make
it visual,
a difference.
Yeah. But it's still just as horrible. But I also think that listeners, you know, need to also reevaluate as to whether how hard do you take this stuff?
Well, I think that's a fair point. But I do think the other thing that's been bothering me is this whataboutism, you know, like, well, what about this and what about that? That doesn't help. Like, well, Trump didn't say enough when the people were killed in Minnesota, when the lawmakers were attacked, or he didn't do this or that, or he doesn't say enough, or this person did this.
Do you think Republicans don't do whataboutism? Come on.
No, I didn't say that. I said that in general.
In general, it's bad for both sides to do it.
Needs to stop because it's not helpful.
It's not helpful.
Hang tight. One more segment. Actually, two more segments. I underestimated the segments. We got two more to go. We're coming back with more. All right. It's a Reardon Roundtable for Friday. We are joined by Jane Duker, who's going to hang in the next hour as well. And Paul Hall joins us on entertainment. We have a Friday edition of Sue's News and Frank Cusimano as well. Gene Evans is on the panel this afternoon. Gene's going to hang out and talk a little education with me in the 5 o'clock hour. Former State Senator Jeff Smith. You have no idea how excited I am to talk about this next topic. And I'll just start with Jane because it was her prom date.
Former Missouri House Speaker
John Deal was
indicted. Are you going to talk badly about my prom date?
I mean, this guy, you have such good, I mean, you do have good taste in Joe, but good Lord, Jane. He already got, evicted from Jeff
prom.
City because of an intern scandal, right? So
yep.
But you did go to prom with him.
Oh, I went to his prom, correct.
Yeah.
He asked
okay.
me and I went, yes.
Do you anticipate that he'd be going to the big house someday?
We need to see the pictures.
Yes.
Oh, you know,
yes,
I'll show you. It's hilarious. They're hilarious. They're so 80s. It's awesome.
All right, Jeff, as someone who served in federal prison, you know what? The first question somebody asked me yesterday was, he ever on the roundtable? I think, Gene, you asked me that because we do have a track record. But this is pretty serious, John.
At dinner, it's like the Sports Illustrated cover jinx.
Exactly. It is. It is like that. But John Deal used to be the Speaker of the Missouri House, right? He's a lawyer. And all of a sudden, we get news 2 days ago. KMOX news director comes over, Beth, and says, hey, we just got word that Hal Goldsmith's involved. That's a pretty big name when it comes to prosecuting. They're going to indict and have a guilty plea from a former official. So I'm asking all you, nobody knew who it was at first, and then it comes out that it's John Deal. It was a, you know, COVID loan that he misused, and they spelled it all out. But you guys happen to think there's more to this case, right? Is it what we're seeing right now? He pleads guilty because he's giving information on some other folks who are public, potentially corrupt officials. Is that typically what happens in a case like this?
All kinds of different things happen in cases. It's almost impossible to know what's going on behind the scenes. I think when someone starts out with a plea and they like waive the indictment and just like plead guilty to the information, you know, then oftentimes there was, you know, an agreement established that in exchange for a lighter sentence. But you never know what's happening in any individual
case. Well, now they
case.
Close those sentencing memos that tell you what they get credit for.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those used to be open?
Like it's called like a 5K1. Yeah. That's like the agreement that you like a cooperation agreement. And if those are sealed, then, you know, that's the way to kind of protect the defendant from ever, you know, having to deal with like social sanction in a white collar case or retribution maybe in a non-white collar case.
Well, absolutely, until the investigations are over. But I think at some point, I think the public's entitled to know if somebody, you know, bargained.
Well, I think the kind of tell here is the prosecutor, Hal Goldsmith, he investigates public corruption. And John Deal hasn't been in office for a long time. But this is a case about a COVID loan. And so normally, and Jane's probably more of an expert on this than myself, you wouldn't see Hal investigate
in like
something
this.
Like that. So it leads us to think there may be more, but nobody really knows.
Or that it's tied somehow or came up as a result of, I mean, he's not out there saying, oh, I'm going after COVID loans. I mean, that's not really his role. So I think.
But even if you stumble across, obviously they went deep into bank accounts because they can track, you know, when the money came into the accounts
and
when it went out.
Spent it on.
But what if somebody just says, hey, well, I got an indication this John Deal guy is stealing money from the feds. Is there someone else that would have been,
Inspector
the St. Louis County
usually.
Prosecutor or someone from the AG's office instead?
No, it's a federal crime when you're stealing federal money.
Well, why wouldn't the U.S. Attorney's Office then be involved?
Well, the U.S. Attorney's Office would. Would it be him? It would be possibly the Inspector General sometimes originates these and then sends them to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so,
And I think it would be highly unlikely that some other person would know about this kind of fraud, right? This is like your private
stuff
that you're doing.
Expenditures,
And so I think that's probably speaks to Gene's point that it's, you know, unlikely that there was like a tip that like, oh, this guy's, you know, committing.
Yeah, I got you.
He's the only member.
Sense.
Wasn't he the only member of, the managing member of his own law firm?
So. Right.
He was very generously contributing to the retirement fund of the law firm, of which he was the only recipient. Yes.
Correct.
You are correct.
And, like, the facts are bad. I mean, country club dues.
But the interesting thing, though, is, like,
tuition.
He is widely viewed by people who worked with him as one of the brightest minds.
He's so smart.
I've ever coming through the legislature.
What the hell, then?
Jane, don't date no dummies.
Well said.
Date no dummies.
But I mean, Jeff, you had someone in your situation. You had your best friend wear a wire. I mean, he could have potentially worn a wire with another situation that we find out about later, right?
You know,
not out of the question.
You never know what's happening. I remember someone sent me a tweet that I had sent when I was serving in the Senate, and I had tweeted, you know, proud to, you know, I'm just drove up to the Capitol with my best friend, you know, and then said his name, and I said, you know, you'll never find anyone this good of a friend or this loyal of a person. So, you
oopsie.
Know, you just never know.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Sorry
exactly.
about the up yours. Yeah.
it does happen. I mean, it's been long enough where we can all laugh about it, Jeff, right?
I'm blessed. I have a great life.
I know you do. Yeah. You do. And, you know, you had your humble beginnings here on the roundtable, and you've come full circle. We've had you back. But it's interesting because the details of that case to me, even outside of what you guys might be talking about, were kind of fascinating. But for a guy that smart,
why would you do this?
You're saying he's worth a lot of money, then why do you do something like this? There had to be a cash flow problem. Come on.
He wrote a check for restitution.
Yeah, he already paid the money back. So.
He paid the money back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is a mental thing.
Wait, he paid the money back already? So
yes,
it was like,
it's already been paid back.
Oh, I missed that part.
And I mean, if you can write a $379,000 check.
There's a twist, something in his head.
I think you guys are right. Then there's certainly more to come. Mm-hmm. We'll take one more break. We're coming back with...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
More on the Reardon Roundtable. All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. Jane Duker is here. Gene Evans, former state senator Jeff Smith on the panel. All right, so I don't care who starts on this one, but the legislature did pass a new map earlier today and send it to the governor. Gene, you want to start on this one?
Nope. No, I will. It was going to happen. I mean, everybody knew it was going to happen. It's done. There'll be lawsuits. They'll try to stop it, but it was... You know, I think everyone sitting here knew that this was what was going to happen this week. It was not a surprise to anybody.
Just because this gets inside baseball-y, right? So right. Explain what is happening here and what they're doing with the congressional maps.
So the legislature decides what the congressional map looks like. They do that in every state. And each state kind of has their own rules, but they're similar. So they redistricted. And when they did so, based on partisanship, like past voting records... It is going to make what is now Congressional 5, held by a Democrat, is now going to be in a more Republican-leaning district, which means that it will be very difficult for the current Democrat.
That's Emanuel Cleaver from the Kansas City area. So what it does is it moves downtown Kansas City and some areas to the south and east to part of the 4th district that goes into southwest Missouri. There's some northern suburbs that would become part of the 6th district, which covers much of the state north of the Missouri River.
Right.
So look, I have expressed some uncomfortability about this. I really have.
And I think one of the reasons for your uncomfortability was one that we haven't really addressed yet, which is that we're doing this in the middle of the decade.
I've said that.
Which is unprecedented we've already done it once this decade. You do it after the census. That's when almost every state in history has done it. And so this cycle, we're kind of departing from that tradition. It's very sparingly been done in the past. And it's being done. I think, both sides know why it's being done. President Trump is certainly
asking and requesting that it be done in Texas.
He drew the map.
President Trump has even called into the Senate Republican caucus and did a conference call with them, encouraging them to do it, urging them to do it. And so, it's happening because he wants to make sure that he retains control, that Republicans retain control of the U.S. House. So he thought, I'm going to get 5 seats in Texas. And then I'm going to get a seat in Missouri, and maybe I can get a couple seats, in other states. And he became more interested in doing it when California's Gavin Newsom said, well, hey, we got to retaliate. We got to fight fire with fire. If Texas is going to take 5 seats, we got to try to offset that. But unfortunately for Democrats, there are more Republican opportunities around the country. So this will be a net benefit to Republicans.
And why is that?
That is because there are Democratic states that already have done nonpartisan redistricting. And so they would have to totally change their constitutions to be able to redraw. And so there are slightly more states that are blue that you can't redraw because nonpartisan commissions draw them instead of the legislature.
Massachusetts, states
Illinois.
Like that.
That looks like spaghetti.
Look, my uncomfortability with this is what you addressed, and I don't like, shifting gears every couple of years with these districts. I think it's confusing to the voters. But then, this is uncomfortable, but then I look at Illinois. And I look at that map there and how the Democrats have used this to their advantage. So there is a part, I think, of Republican leadership, and certainly in the White House, they say, look, we're fighting fire with fire, because if you guys take control in 28, you're going to make Puerto Rico a state, D.C. a state, a 13-member Supreme Court, all those things.
We had control of everything in 2021 and 2022, and that didn't happen. Right. Even though a lot of Democrats were calling for that to happen, it didn't happen. And so I'll only rebut this to say that Republicans had a chance to draw a 7-1 district. And if they would have drawn 7-1 in 2021, 2022, I wouldn't have liked it, but I wouldn't have objected in the same way that I object to this unprecedented power grab of doing it a second time in the same decade.
And here's the deal. If this is legal, which I question under Missouri law, if it is legal, and I think that Reverend Cleaver will have a legitimate lawsuit on this, then you can do it every day. That's the problem. It's specifically tied to the census. And there's a reason for that, because people don't want to redistrict every year. If this is legal, then redistricting anytime you want is legal. And that is chaos.
Well, I think it is in Missouri, though, isn't it?
No. Yeah. I disagree.
Well,
I don't think the law says that.
It's not traditional, but the courts will decide.
It's not contemplated. Is the honest answer. And it's going to be an interesting case because it's not prohibited. It says that you should do it after a census, right? Is what it says. So there may be some wiggle room there. I think there's a good case that this is illegal, but it is not specifically, explicitly prohibited.
It doesn't say you cannot.
Exactly.
That's right.
But I think the better answer is, because what courts don't like to do is to read the Constitution to create absurd results. And the absurd result would be here, if they said this is okay, then you can redistrict every year, every day, every hour. And courts don't like absurd results.
And that's where we're going nationally. That's where we're going nationally is doing it whenever, if your party gets control of a governor's mansion that you didn't have last year, hey, let's redistrict. I don't care if it's 2026 or 2028. That's a terrible place to go. And I don't think most U.S. congressmen want to have a new district every 2 years.
No, but I think you'll see more and more states put something through their legislature to sort of outline this better or clarify it, because they want to hold on to whatever they've got, right?
It'll take a constitutional amendment in Missouri to actually to do that.
And so what then, I would like to see is a national constitutional amendment to ban all of this and to have computers draw the maps.
Yeah, I mean,
ain't going to happen.
Well, you got
to
take
that'd be the best way to eliminate partisan. That'd be the best way to eliminate partisan gerrymandering.
Because you know what? This is the problem we've created, and it's on both sides. Is primaries are more important than generals. And that is because of the partisan
they become
way
that way, that, right?
Yeah. That the maps are drawn. And so if there were a way, I mean, you can't tell me that a computer couldn't do a better job and it would force everybody to moderate. And I think that's not such a bad thing.
Did they do anything with the initiate petition stuff?
Yes.
What happened there?
It impossible to pass a constitutional.
Well, what did they do?
Well, it has to go before the voters. So they pass something
right. We still have, which is even more confusing, right?
So it will go before the voters, and basically it has to pass in every congressional district and pass at the ballot box, which is kind of redundant, because if it passed in every district, it would. So that's going to be on the ballot. That doesn't mean it's going to pass.
It shouldn't.
Well,
I don't think voters
are going to understand what the hell they're voting for.
Probably. Well, and this is the one that's actually more legally dubious than the redistricting, because I think it totally undermines the one person, one vote principle that's embedded in Baker versus Carr and Westbury versus Sanders, a couple big Supreme Court decisions
just
in the 60s.
Just like the stupid rank
because
voting.
Now your vote is counting twice, basically. You know, you have to, the thing has to win independently statewide and has to win in every congressional district. So you think about the things that we voted overwhelmingly for, whether it was medical marijuana legalization or recreational marijuana legalization or higher minimum wages or paid sick leave. None of those things passed in every single congressional district.
The argument from Republicans is that you have, and they most pointedly go to Amendment 3 last year, the abortion amendment, that you have, George Soros money and all these millions of dollars. And I've never bought, I go back to the 1980s when I had problems with this whole process because I thought it was too easy to amend the Constitution. So I get the challenge to say, wait a second, this is way too easy to do something with our Constitution.
You up the the overall percentage. Like, I would have been fine with a 60% percentage to pass. When you know, amending a statute is not as big a deal. But amending the Constitution, but...
So could they have done that without a constitutional amendment? They could have just amended it to say, okay, the 60% threshold?
No, they would,
that
still,
would still have to be voted on.
It would
on.
Still have to be voted on, and it wouldn't generate a one-man, one-vote challenge. Because that
and there's lots of precedent for that in other states.
Correct.
You know, Florida, you have to get 60% to make a change like this. This is more common. I don't think there's anywhere in the country that has
not a single state.
Yeah, that has anything like this where you have to win
each congressional district.
We have to win in every congressional
district. So that's gonna be challenged.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Okay. A couple things I want to mention just because we're short on time, and you know, some of this is a little shameful on the host part because we run out of time. But Irina Zarudzka, the young woman who was stabbed on the train in Charlotte, just awful. And you know, we were all talking about that until this happened with Charlie Kirk, but I know I don't have that necessarily as a topic today, but that was horrifying, and the reaction to that has been somewhat horrifying as well. Yesterday, and you know, Ethan and I both talked about this after the show because I went through the entire show and I barely mentioned the 24th anniversary of 9/11, which is unfortunate, but because of the news cycle, and you know, next year will be more significant because we always place more emphasis on a, you know, 25th. A 20th or a 25th, and of course, it's the 250th birthday of the country as well. So my guess would be we'll have more focus next year on that, and then I have to mention our friend Dorian Johnson, who left the planet because he was the guy that really lit the fire in Ferguson. And he then had gasoline poured on that match by Antonio French and by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and ruined our region. But that whole thing, you know, with what he claimed to begin with and in the process of people who still believe the hands up don't
nationally.
Shoot is just,
that's
yeah,
not
nationally.
Just local, that's
right.
Nationally.
You know, I went back and I read some of the FBI report this week because I wanted to refresh my memory. I always recommend
that. Of
young
Dorian.
Right,
yeah, who was a liar and should have been brought up on charges of, like, perjury.
But he still didn't deserve to be killed.
No, he should not have been killed.
I'm not saying that at all, but I think that, you know, his whole role in the destruction of the St. Louis region certainly needs to be pointed out. Jeff Smith, great to see you, even though you were kind of late again today, a little bit.
And my shirt's inside out.
Oh, you still haven't changed that, have you?
Well,
no.
I can't even.
Out of respect for Gene.
See, I can't even mock you because I do that kind of stuff all the time.
Thank
you. It's okay with me. Gene, great to see you, and you're going to hang out a little bit. We're going to talk education in the 5 o'clock hour.
Sure.
Jane, you will be with us. We don't have any kind of special taste test today, do we?
Oh,
we do.
Oh, we do.
I underestimated Jane's power of persuasion with food. We did the Oreos taste challenge last week. We'll get one here after 4 o'clock. We'll get Sue's News on a Friday afternoon, and Paul Hall and Entertainment, Mr. Cusimano, will join us in a little less than an hour as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.